Hello and welcome to Point of View Podcasts, a series of conversations from Kaufman Hall and Associates. Disruptive innovation is reshaping healthcare by challenging legacy healthcare providers and traditional care delivery models. The need for hospitals, health systems, and others to develop an innovation strategy is more critical than ever. In the first of our two-part series on innovation, Todd Fitz, a senior vice president in the strategy practice of Kaufman Hall, joins us to talk about the many forces that are driving the need for change and how providers can begin to develop such a strategy. Todd, what are some of the primary factors driving interest in healthcare innovation?
Well, I think the primary factor, first and foremost, is the realization that the healthcare system we've developed is unsustainable. And that's driven a lot of the conversation in most recent years around driving value, lowering cost, but driving higher quality and better access. So when we think about population health, reorienting the care delivery system, and so on, that's created the start of, anyways, a burning platform for innovation. And that was really necessary to break down some of the structural impediments to innovation. And those structural impediments have been around for a long time. When we look at innovation in healthcare, the industry's been very good innovating in the science of delivery, as we like to say. So the invention of new devices or new drugs or new surgical procedures. The United States is by and far led the world in that kind of innovation. But when it comes to innovating the actual care delivery model, we haven't. And so the way we deliver care today is not too dissimilar than 10, 20, 30 years ago. There's obviously been shifts, and some of that's been enabled by that change in the science of delivery. But the model we've created hasn't evolved to drive that value, and now that platform's in place. So when we think about, you know, having the opportunity now and the need to be innovative, it's created a lot of activity and interest, and that's being further supported by the actual payers of healthcare, whether that's the government, employers, the insurance companies, or even the consumers of healthcare themselves, the patients, to demand it and actually incentivize people to innovate.
What do we mean when we talk about innovation in healthcare?
Innovation in the provider space is taking many shapes and forms, and arguably will continue to. It's in an evolutionary sort of stage right now. So what we're seeing is innovation within provider organizations, some of them looking to find ways to change that care delivery model to deliver on the promise of population health, thinking about processes and how the organization's put together. We're seeing more specific innovations on using technology to the benefit of whether it's business operations or generating clinical outcomes. And healthcare is interesting on that front because it's one of the few industries and potentially the only industries where technology has actually increased the cost of delivering the business. But I think that that's starting to change, particularly in certain aspects of the business. And then we're also seeing innovation come in on the fringes and actually threaten providers in opening up the ability to provide services to patients for new competitors. So good examples are organizations that are moving healthcare outside of traditional care settings, say the retail clinics at the CVSs and the Walgreens, or even telemedicine platforms looking to bring things virtual.
What are some unique ways in which market-leading health systems are responding to the opportunity to innovate?
What we're seeing is a pretty wide range of responses in the market today, and that's largely driven by, one, how unique healthcare is, two, how new they are to this idea of innovation, and three, because we still have some of those structural impediments I mentioned earlier that are somewhat dictating in fits and starts how this moves forward. So some organizations are sort of entering the space by hiring a chief innovation officer and turning that person loose within the senior leadership in the organization to start the dialogue. Others are diving in much more significantly, allocating resources, putting dollars and people to changing culture, to running processes. Some are developing external relationships with either local educational institutions, universities, or local venture capital entities. Some have developed relationships all the way into Silicon Valley with venture capital out there to drive learnings from that side of the business. So we're seeing a lot of different approaches, none of which are necessarily right or wrong. We don't know yet. But the real fundamental point is that there's really no wrong way to go about it. It's something that really every organization should be thinking about and trying to figure out, of the options available, what's the best one for them.
Can you offer some examples of the more advanced ones?
Two that come readily to mind are Intermountain Healthcare and Penn Medicine. Intermountain has always been fairly leading edge in terms of thinking about care delivery. And what they've done is taken a multifaceted approach to innovation and invested significant resources and effort towards that end, to the point where the leader of their innovation effort is effectively the CFO. So they've taken it on as a meaningful part of the organization's future. And the way that that's played out is that they've got an internal foundry, which they call it, to help stimulate ideas from within. And those ideas could be around changing care delivery, developing new devices or products to bring to market, so commercializable ideas, or anything or everything, but opening it up to all employees to effectively take part in what many people are familiar with as a sort of Shark Tank sort of process, where people can submit ideas and go in front of a committee and potentially get those ideas funded and supported going forward. The other thing that they're doing is they've set aside a pretty significant amount of money, tens of millions of dollars, to make strategic investments in new ideas and innovation in healthcare that can advance their business and they could potentially profit from. Those investments could be internal, they could be external. There's really no limitations on, as far as I know, other than it's directed towards healthcare innovation. And that investment, again, really is designed to show the organizational commitment and support ideas that might come up. And then lastly, they also have ties to the local community and supporting innovation more broadly. So what we've seen in recent years is innovation coming as much from outside healthcare providers as within, when we think about the provider business. And so not wanting to lose sight of that and potentially take advantage of that, they've also developed processes and an approach to engaging local entrepreneurs. The path they've taken to do that is to partner with a company called Healthbox that has been doing a lot of things in the venture capital space for years. First starting with healthcare accelerators and traditional venture capital, but evolving to be much more supportive of driving an approach to innovation within organizations. And so they've partnered in a long-term sense to deliver on all those fronts. Another interesting and somewhat different approach is what's being done at the Penn Medicine Center for Healthcare Innovation. Penn has basically oriented their innovation efforts around stimulating ideas on changing that care delivery model and have allocated resources both from traditional healthcare roles as well as bringing in external resources, for example, people from Silicon Valley, to support the development of new ideas as well as pilot and prototype. So their approach is, you know, let's come up with some new ideas that are game changers, if you will, and let's try them out. Some of them will work, some of them won't work. Some of them might be only applicable to our organization, and some of them might have broader implications for healthcare. And they've been able to have success and failures, but they've been able to innovate. And to them, again, it's about culture, and this permeates the entire organization. It's not limited to this department that they've formed or their chief innovation officer. It's about really changing how they approach both the delivery of healthcare on a day-to-day basis and think about it long-term in delivering that value to the patient. A couple of examples where Penn has had success are in areas such as improving Ebola screening. The previous method, they weren't getting proper answers. People were potentially falling through the cracks. And so they took a hard look at it and came up with some innovations around how they interviewed patients and approached the questions. and saw real results in the outcome. Or, for example, looking at how they treated their oncology patients in the inpatient setting, and actually the results there were able to show a 12-hour decrease in length of stay for oncology patients, which is material when you think about most of these lengths of stay are between 48 and 72 hours. So, you know, when they think about innovation and applying that to care delivery, they've definitely seen some results.
What is the difference between an organization that is an innovator versus one that's a fast follower?
Well, this is an interesting question that's come up recently with some of the providers that I've talked to, in that for many that haven't gone very far down this innovation path, they ask the question of, do we really want to be an innovator, invest in these processes, invest resources, or are we better off letting other people do the innovation and then very quickly adopting what they innovate around, whether that's changes in care delivery or technology? And I think that to a certain degree, that's a valid approach. But the limitation there is that we're in a period of much more rapid change than we've been in the past in healthcare. And the dissemination of these innovations, as well as the potential that they're very organizational specific, that is, they're not necessarily generalizable across providers, is significant. So if you're taking the strategy of being a fast follower, the potential there is that, one, by the time that innovation, quote unquote, gets to you, you've lost tremendous ground and opportunity, potentially competitive positioning. And then two, its application to you may not be a good fit, and how you might have innovated on that same issue might have required a different approach, and you're still left back at square one. So I think our point of view today is that it's important to take both approaches. That is, instill a culture of innovation, but develop an approach and a mentality to being attuned to what other organizations are doing.
What's most important to think about in developing an innovation strategy?
Well, I think first and foremost, where we've seen organizations struggle is defining what they mean by innovation. And that can take many shapes and forms, as I think we've talked about. Are they thinking more of a cultural change? Are there specific opportunities in front of them, entrepreneurs internally or externally that are approaching them? Are there very specific changes in the care delivery model they want to attack? Like, let's say, improve patient access. We want to innovate around patient access. So I think first and foremost, you need to define what that is. And it could be all of the above, or it could be something very specific under that. Once you define that, I think the path becomes much clearer in terms of how you can implement a strategy and then the following processes and procedures to be successful. And that can, again, play out in many ways. You might invest in a lot of internal resources. You might have external partnerships, whether local institutions or venture capital idea people from other industries. There's a lot of ways of approaching it. But absent that definition, a lot of organizations invest a lot of time and resources and don't get any outcomes. So that's really the key to being successful is pointing yourself in the right direction to start.
If you could offer two take-home must-remember messages for executives and trustees, what would they be?
So first, the opportunity to innovate is here. I think many of us have been in the industry for a long time, have been anxiously awaiting some of the opportunities that are here now. That doesn't mean we still don't have barriers and challenges. It doesn't mean that the path to innovation is clear. But at least now there are mechanisms, incentives, reasons to pursue innovation and actually see results. And that's generating a lot of excitement for those organizations that are orienting to it. And along those lines, the second important thing to think about is, for the foreseeable future, what this is primarily about is driving cultural change in organizations where innovation hasn't really been part of the conversation. It's not part of the DNA of those organizations. So when we think about these large provider organizations in turning these ships, if you will, in turning them using innovation, that's going to be driven by number one cultural change in leadership. And that change management is a skill that's relatively undeveloped in our industry, but it is one of the big challenges for most to pursue, and one that most should sort of engage actively and fully to be successful.
That was Todd Fitz, a senior vice president in the strategy practice of Kaufman Hall. You can hear the second in our two-part series on innovation and other Point of View podcasts at kaufmanhall.com.